About 1988, I observed a very potent shift in people coming to my workshops who underwent this transition of showing up saying, I know I created this illness and I just want some insight into how to get out of it. To all of a sudden, it seemed to happen in the blink of an eye, where the perception was, I have done everything I possibly could and nothing is changing. Now, that was mesmerizing to me because that was my observation. That people came with this list of things saying, I have tried homeopathics, I have tried oriental medicine, I have tried standing on my head gargling peanut butter, I have tried mantras, I have tried line dancing, I am still ill. And simultaneously, I had these experiences. My life in the world of medical intuition is very magical. Every other place in my life is sort of very ordinary and dull. But the stories, when it comes to being a medical intuitive, sound like something right out of Ripley's Believe It or Not. The moment I began to ponder, how come people are not healing? This opened up. Do you know the community of Finhorn in northern Scotland? Well, I teach there a great deal. Just as I was pondering this question, I go over there to do a bunch of workshops, and I am scheduled to meet a friend for lunch. And while I was waiting for her, I am having a cup of tea with two gentlemen, and I'm going to change all the names, of course. She comes over to the table. I'll call her Mary. And I said to her, Mary, this is Tom and Bill. Now, you know how long it takes to extend your hand and shake and meet somebody. I'm talking 7 to 10 seconds. During that very brief period of time, one of the administrators from Finhorn comes over and says, Mary, are you free on June 8th? We're having a guest come to Finhorn and we need an escort. That was the question. Are you free on June 8th? Her reply was, June 8th? Did you say June 8th? Oh, any other day but June 8th, not June 8th. June 8th is an incest survivor's day, and we never, ever let each other down. She went into a little poem about incest survivor support system, and this carried on probably for a minute and a half to 2 minutes. I was mesmerized. Later over lunch, I said to her, how come within 15 seconds of meeting these two people, you had to let these two men know that one, you had undergone incest, two, you were still angry about it, three, you had to control the conversation, four, you had to lead with your wounds. And I listed every single one of the dynamics. Her immediate response to me was through that question and out the backside, and she said, because I did undergo incest. And I said to her, honey, I know that. Why did you have to tell them that? Am I saying incest should not be dealt with? No. Now, you know that's not the point. The point is, I was observing something fascinating. Fascinating. Now, from that point of view, I had this thought, and the thought is this. Sometimes perceptions come to you in a cluster, like a satellite that has a number of little ships attached to it, and I had a satellite implant after this. And I began to understand healing from another point of view. One is, I had the perception, naively so, that everybody wanted to be healthy. I now no longer believe that. I don't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, I actually will theorize today. This is today's weather report. 5 years from now, I may not make this statement, but today I am. And that's that healing is exceedingly unattractive. Why is that? Being out of pain, physical pain, is not unattractive, but healing is very unattractive, and that's what we need to look at. Why is that? Well, now let's go backwards for a couple of decades. Let's go back prior to World War II. I think the entire evolution of humanity changed as a consequence of World War II because we birthed the nuclear age. Now we're going to enter the world of symbolic interpretation of events. Repeat, symbolic. From the symbolic point of view, to me, the nuclear war we had with Hiroshima and Nagasaki and splitting the atom was metaphorically the release of the power of our superconscious in a physical form. Remember, as above, so below. That is how powerful consciousness is. Only we split the atom, i.e. split ourselves, with the order kill and destroy. And I think, quite frankly, from that point on, we engage the non-physical world in a communication system with us that said we now have unlocked a power that we are morally or spiritually incapable of managing, so we have to put our maturation on fast forward. Now, prior to World War II, do you realize that you tended to marry once, and you tended to marry within your biological tribe, and certainly within your religious tribe, and you tended to marry for second chakra or second, you know, chakras are little, what I call body computers in the East called chakras, but I think the word computer is perhaps more comfortable to our psyches, at least it is from my working point of view. And your second chakra is where you store your finances. So your first chakra is where you store your family. So your family picked out your mate for financial reasons. Now, my point here is that prior to that time, there was no language of intimacy. It did not exist. Do you know, you can go back and you can talk to people in that era, and certainly in the 50s and in the 60s and the 70s, who have been married and have managed to produce children and have never had a conversation above the waist. And what I mean by that, above the waist is where your psychological, emotional, spiritual life is. Your physical life is below the waist in terms of the body computers, and your energetic life is above the waist. So it's above the waist where you will find your emotional, psychological needs. Below the waist are your physical obligations. So you might sleep with your mate, but whether or not you received any pleasure for it, enjoyed it, that was private data that you stored above the waist. Fascinating. Now, here comes our evolution. And it's time for us to unlock our souls and push ourselves out of that, shall we say, stage of our perceptual system. And so we had to access behind our eyes with the same fluency that we accessed in front of our eyes. And what happened was the world of psychology and spirituality went from very closed academic circles to ordinary language in the streets and bookstores. We accessed our psyches. We developed our first language of intimacy. But what kind of language was it? The first thing we discovered when we closed our eyes and went backwards and straight down into our heart and into our gut and into our biology, the first thing you discover when you enter your biology is your biography. And the first thing you discover in your biography is your wounds. We learn to speak woundology. Now, what you've got to realize is woundology is without a doubt our first official language of intimacy. This is how we mate with each other. This is how we bond with each other. I hear people using the term soulmates, and part of me cringes inside because what I realize they're talking about is wound mates. In these bonding woundology rituals, we are exchanging an actual agreement as to how to honor each other's wounds. You don't realize the power that's being exchanged here. And that's where the first handicap to healing comes in, because we turn our wounds into so much power. And the wound is that if I called you up and said, something's reminding me of chocolate donuts, your job is to drop everything and show up on my doorstep with chocolate donuts, because that is what we have now declared as support. Is that supposed to keep me healthy? Well, it doesn't. It keeps me wounded. But today we interpret that as nurturing. I did a reading on someone. I had such an interesting insight with this particular person, because the more I've looked at this, the more I see that this is absolutely the way we are right now. You see, therapy, as far as I am concerned, is meant to be a boat to get you across the river, except that nobody gets off on the other side. Because the language of therapy and the language of, quote, processing, and this is worth discussing and looking into, because it is such a sweet wound and such a sweet power that it made me look even more deeply at, I don't think the wound is the difficulty. I think we've become addicted to the power of the wound and the privilege the wound gives us to interact. Now, I have seen this in my own work so many times, it is amazing.